Hi, my name is Ben, and I am Emmanuel's executive pastor. We're thankful that you've decided to take advantage of our sermon resources on our website, and we hope that the Lord uses this teaching from His Word to build you up in the faith. Emmanuel's desire is to build a community from all cultures where Christ is King, and to that end, we hope that this teaching is used in your life and in your local church's life to promote Christ's likeness and the glory of God. We would encourage you not to use these teachings as a replacement for involvement in a local church family. We would love for you to be committed to brothers and sisters in the city and state and country where you live. And it's our hope that this teaching would encourage faithfulness on your part towards the body of Christ where you live. And so to that end, we're thankful that you're here, and we do hope that the Lord uses this teaching from His Word to make you more like His dear Son, Jesus Christ.
And this is the Sunday when we're going to complete our series in the Psalms of Ascent. And it's appropriate because we've been blessing God this morning and just singing it with all of our hearts that we finish on this Psalm of Blessing. Little history note for you this morning. Pretty encouraging history note, really, in terms of God's faithfulness. Historically, this is the Sunday where the church has remembered her martyrs. Where the church has remembered those who died for the faith, and so it's often been called All Saints' Day. Many of you will also be aware that 500 years ago, it took on another meaning when the church really reclaimed the gospel that those martyrs died for, and so it became known as Reformation Sunday, celebrating the fact that the church was reformed around the gospel that had been lost for hundreds of years prior to people like Martin Luther and John Calvin really digging into the text of the Scripture. And then on a more personal note, this is the 125th anniversary of this congregation. So 125 years ago, this Sunday, Emmanuel Baptist Church met for the very first time in a beer garden just down the way, appropriate place for a Southern Baptist church to get her beginning. And in all of those things, we just really want to remark on God's faithfulness. Because if you know anything of the history of the church, you know that the church has done just about everything possible to squander away the blessings God has given her. If you know anything about the history of the Reformation, you know that even though the reformers were men so committed to the Bible, they then went on in areas, that, for example, in this country, of race and slavery to be massively compromised. And if you know anything about the history of this local church, there have been many times where this church has really downplayed and watered down the gospel. And so we should just marvel that we're going to turn to the Bible again this morning, that your hearts resonate with what the Scripture says. That's no small thing. The same God who's been keeping His wayward church for 2,000 years is able to keep you for the next 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, however many you get, and take you home to be with Him, where the church will be forever perfected before the glory of the Lord. Psalm 134. And before I read it, I'll maybe just take one more opportunity to thank all of the elders who preached so faithfully through these 15 psalms of the Psalms of Ascent. So just thank you again to those brothers. That's just a great blessing. I feel like a closing pitcher in this series. Just coming in at the very end, I just need to get three strikes and then we can move on. We'll see if I can get that third strike. Psalm 134. Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, He who made heaven and earth. Father, would you come and meet with us by your powerful Holy Spirit? Lord, I just tremble this morning because there are men and women here under your wrath, I pray, Lord God, that you'd take your wrath away through Jesus. There are men and women here, and I include myself in this number by your grace, who've had your wrath taken away, but we've got a long way to grow. Lord, would you please just grow us? Lord, we pray what Robert Murray McShane prayed. Lord, would you make us as holy as a saved sinner can be this side of heaven? We pray that you do this through your word. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, if you're new to the Bible, or even if you're old to the Bible, one of the things you just should drill into your mind and drill into your soul is that you always want to be asking, what is God saying in the Bible? What's he saying in this text? Not what are my ideas that I can sort of bring and sort of wash over the Bible, but what is the Bible actually saying? And one of the ways that you learn to figure out what the Bible is actually saying is repetition. When the Bible says something over and over again, you sort of go, oh. It's like God saying, listen to me, stop right there. Let me repeat myself. Let me make sure you know what I'm saying. And by that standard, it's pretty clear what the theme of this tiny little psalm is. It's all about blessing. Three verses, and three times the word blessing is used. Verse 1, come, bless the Lord, you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Verse 2, lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, verse 3, he who made heaven and earth. Now, what's amazing about this, just off the bat, is that this makes this a very countercultural poem. Because the world you and I live in is filled with cursing. When I used to drill for oil on the oil rigs, all you had to do as a standout as a Christian was not swear for about 7 seconds. And they'd say, are you religious? Because the air was just so filled with cursing. In blue-collar environments, it can be every three words. In white-collar environments, people keep it professional for a minute or two till you get to know them personally. And then the floodgates of profanity begin. Now, the movies that are out on TV in our day and age are just filled with profanity, so much so that even Christians begin to get the idea that it's normal to curse the bodies God has given us, to curse the marvelous and pure gift of sex, and to curse the holy name of Jesus Christ. That's how we swear, that's how we cuss, that's how we curse, that's how we express our displeasure and frustration with this world, is by cursing. And so this psalm really baptizes us into and brings us into an entirely different way of talking. One that makes blessing the center of how you talk. One that makes building up the center of how you use your mouth. Instead of tearing down, it doesn't regard being clean as naive, but it regards being clean as helpful and as a blessing to other people. So this psalm is entirely about blessing. Now, blessing is a confusing word, isn't it? I was reading an article this week that was dealing with the uses of blessed on Twitter. And so blessed's become a thing. Hashtag blessed is all over Twitter. Everything from check out my body in a selfie, blessed, to look at the award I won, blessed, which is basically a humble brag. All over the place, you've got people proclaiming that they've been blessed. And so we need to think very carefully about what blessed actually means. And what makes understanding blessed even more confusing is that it means two different things depending on which direction it's going. Let me repeat that. The word blessed in the Bible means two different things depending on which direction it's going. So blessing can be used of God to man, God blesses us, or of man to God, we bless God. And it means two different things depending on which direction it's going. Because when it's blessing, me blessing God, the word is very close to praise. Almost identical with praise. In fact, you can see that. Just notice The language of come bless the Lord, servants of the Lord, house of the Lord in Psalm 134. Come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. And then go down to Psalm 135. Notice how similar the language is, but one word's been changed. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord, O servants of the Lord who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. So praise and bless are nearly identical twins when we're talking about me blessing God. Blessing means praise. But it doesn't mean that when you go the other direction, does it? I mean, when it says that God blesses man, it doesn't mean God praises man. I mean, I don't care what religion you're from, there shouldn't be any religion where God looks down on this humanity and goes, now that's awesome. Anybody who's watched the 6 o'clock news should be aware that this is not awesome. What's going on down here is not super stunning and glorious, and it should not be praised. So when God blesses us, it's not God praising us. It's God giving us what we do not deserve. There's a wonderful way to think about what God's blessing towards us means. And it comes from Numbers chapter 6. In Numbers chapter 6, you have the quintessential blessing of the Bible. You have the blessing that was given to the priests of the Old Testament, the blessing that they were called to give to the people of God. And in this blessing, it all works on parallelism. Now, this is an oversimplification, but still it holds true that English poetry depends on rhyme, the cat and the mat and the bat, that kind of thing. Whereas Hebrew poetry often works off parallelism. And each parallel statement unpacks the one before it. So you get a fuller understanding of what the poem is talking about by seeing the parallels that are there in the scripture. So Numbers chapter 6 has three parallel statements of blessing. Listen to them. Numbers chapter 6, verse 24. The Lord bless you and keep you. There's two things, bless and keep. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Well, what does it mean for God to bless you? Well, it means he shines his face on you. What does it mean for God to keep you? It means he's being gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And give you peace. What does it mean for God to bless you? It means his face is shining upon you. It means his countenance, his face is lifted up on you. What does it mean for God to keep you? It means he's gracious to you. It means he's giving you peace. When God blesses us, beloved, listen to me. When God blesses us, he's not praising us. When God blesses us, he is smiling on us in a way we do not deserve. When God blesses us, and here's where the ultimate blessing comes. The ultimate blessing comes when Jesus Christ came into the world, fully aware of how bad it was down here, and lived a perfect life, and then offered himself as a sacrifice for sinners. And whoever believes in him has his sacrifice in their place, his sacrifice taking away their sin, and they are given his new life. And that's why the Bible can say, blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven. And God can smile on you because all your sins have been taken away. So let me just make sure this is clear. I know that was a little bit murky, but let me make sure the main thing is clear. When we bless God, it's basically praise. When he blesses us, he's bringing us into his smile. He's bringing us into his good favor. He's saving us and forgiving us, and in the words of Psalm 103, giving us all of his benefits. Now, there's one little observation I want to make before we go on that just makes the Christian life really sweet. Isn't this amazing? You can bless God. I mean, I don't know what's more amazing, that he blesses us or that he actually receives our praise as a blessing. I heard someone illustrate this way, and I thought it was good. Occasionally, pastors are treated to the artwork of some of the budding artists in our congregation. I'm talking the 3, 4, 5-year-olds who've been given a pen by their mommy and daddy. And what you find out is that you have a body like a perfect triangle and a head like a pea, and you're talking behind a big box. And when one of those little 5-year-olds offers you that little picture, which I love to get, you do not say to them, "This is garbage. Come on. Haven't you ever taken an art class?" No, you go, "That's amazing. What a perfect likeness. I do blather on and on behind a box. Thank you for this." And you take their imperfect little gift as a blessing. And when you lift up your hearts to God, beloved, and praise his holy name, when you lift up your hearts to God and you give him the little imperfect drawing of your life, the little sketch you've been trying to do of biblical womanhood, the little sketch you've been trying to do of biblical Christianity, you hand that to God and he says, "I love that." He puts it on the fridge. He's blessed by it. It's a great blessing for God to receive the blessing of his people. So when he smiles on us, you give him pleasure when you smile back. Now, when it comes to this word blessed, we've seen that it's really the center of this psalm. And we've seen that it means two different things depending on which direction it's going. When it's going to God, it's praise. When it's going back down to us, it's really him giving us his benefits, his smile, his favor. We need to understand these two directions because they're both at work in this psalm. This psalm has blessing going both directions. And in order to show that to you, I need to give you a little bit of the background of this psalm. You'll remember in the Psalms of Ascents, we've been saying that this is probably a hymn book written for travelers. The Psalms of Ascent is probably a hymn book that the people of Israel would sing as they would go up to Jerusalem. And in Psalm 134, we have the last hymn. This is the one at the end of the book. This is the one you sing when you get to Jerusalem, when you get to the temple, when you get to the place where God was praised in the Old Testament. This is the one you break out. No one turns and says, "So what should we sing now?" No, you sing this one. And so the people who arrived at the temple would then sing to the priests who were at the temple, "Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord." That's actually a technical term from Deuteronomy 10, referring to the priests. They're saying to the priests, "Hey priests, give it up for God. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, bless the Lord." They're saying, "We're here now, let's praise the Lord." And then they say to the priest, "Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord." So you've got the people telling the priest to give it up for God, to send it that direction, to bless his holy name, to praise him. And then in verse 3, you've got the priests answering back. The priests are answering to the people. And they say, "May the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth." And so the priests, who were the ones who were called to stand between God and man in the Old Testament, the priests are now saying, "Okay, you want us to give it up for God? We're giving it up for God. And right back at you, bless you. Bless you from Zion." That's the city where God rules, Jerusalem. "Bless you from the maker of heaven and earth." That's the one who's got the power to give you any blessing he desires. And so the picture you get here is just beautiful, isn't it? The people of God swelling into the temple of God and the priests praising God day and night. And then, pardon me, and then the people being blessed. Now, telling you all this, telling you about how this was part of a Jerusalem travel journey and how this was part of the temple and how this was something that was the priests were called to do, this might make the whole psalm feel very archaic. But the reality is, what I've just told you is what makes the psalm very applicable. It makes it applicable because the Bible says that every Christian in the New Testament is a priest. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, you are a royal priesthood. Revelation chapter 1, Jesus shed his blood so that you could be a kingdom of priests. You see, the Old Testament with its temple and with its worship in the temple and with its priests wasn't just trying to do old-fashioned religion. It was trying to paint a picture in history that would point forward to what Jesus was going to create in history, namely a church of people who were priests. Which means that this psalm right now, today, if you believe in Jesus Christ, this psalm's speaking right to you. And here's what it's got to say. You need to bless God. And you need to bless people. The psalm says, come bless the Lord, you servants of the Lord. And that's you. You are called to bless God. And then the priests respond, may the Lord bless you from Zion. That's your line. That's what you are called to say to the other saints who you love, to the other Christians you know, in fact, even to non-Christians, you can tell them about the way of blessing through the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look at those. Those are two pretty simple points, right? You're called to bless God. You're called to bless people. No excuses for not remembering those two. You are called to bless God as his priest. You are called to bless people as his priest. Let me give you three truths that were meant to fuel the priest's blessing. Three truths that were meant to fire the priests up to bless the Lord. The first is their identity. They were to be fired up to bless the Lord by who they were, by their identity. Do you see that there? Come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord. Now, I don't know if you're aware of this, but in 2 Chronicles 9, anyone here ever committed 2 Chronicles 9 to memory? Not a common one. But in 2 Chronicles 9, David actually appoints the priests to stand at the temple every day and to worship God and to bless his name. And he says this clearly, day and night. We've been seeing in the last few weeks in Psalm 133 that everything that happened at the temple was very aromatic. It smelled good. It was like the oil on Aaron's robes. But it didn't just smell good, beloved. It sounded good. There was always this musical praise going on. So there were priests in Israel, and they wake up in the morning, and they stretch. They're like, I'm going to work tonight. You on graveyard ship? Yeah, what are you doing? Praising God. That's my job. What are you going to sit down at a desk? No, I stand all night. I stand all night and I lift my hands and I praise God. That's what I do for a living. And when God called priests to do that, he was only calling them to do that because that's what he wanted you, Christian, to do for all eternity. He was giving you a picture of what your primary job is in life. Your primary job. Now listen to me. Your primary job, the one you should neglect everything else to do, is to bless the Lord. And we get so many different ideas about what the Christian life is, don't we? We're so busy. I gotta make lots of money because I gotta provide for my family. Well, yes. The kids are crying, and I can't just go read my Bible because I've got to be perfect mommy. Well, yes, there's an element of truth to that. I've got to witness to people. I've got to be out every night telling people about Jesus. Yes, there's an element of truth to that. But before it all is your call to praise the Lord. And I'll just be honest with you, many times people get dry in the Christian life because they get so focused on the fruit of the Christian life that they've forgotten the roots of the Christian life. With this, you're just supposed to dip your roots down into the water of God's mercy and praise his holy name. And when was the last time you just got away from it all and just praised the Lord? Husbands, when was the last time you looked at your wife and said it would be a valuable investment of your time for me just to send you away? What's the agenda? Not make a schedule, not get the groceries figured out. Just go praise the Lord. You need to just praise the Lord. And someone will be sitting here going, well, Ryan, you're forgetting work is praising the Lord and witnessing is praising the Lord. I know that. And yet I'm going to tell you, you're praising the Lord at work and you're praising the Lord in witnessing will really be shallow and dry if you haven't just praised the Lord. There are times when we just need to get away from everything and bless the Lord. When was the last time you just brought to mind 20 things that made God good? You think, well, that would kind of be a waste of time for me. You've forgotten your identity. You've forgotten who you are. You got saved to praise the Lord. The main, God is not looking to you going, okay, I saved him, and now productivity is going to go up. That is not the main reason he saved you, because if it was, he's a failure. You are not a machine cranking out biblical fruit spirituality. It ain't happening. You are a person who he loved before the foundation of the earth, and he wants to set, he has set his love on you, and he has sacrificed his own son for you, and now he wants you to praise his holy name. That's why you were saved. You are a servant so you can serve him in worship. That's encouraging. Not only are you supposed to remember your identity to fuel your worship, but there's a call here to intensity. There's a call here to intensity. Notice the people don't say, "Come, you servants of the Lord, bless God in your heart." No, they say a little more than that, don't they? They say, "Get your hands up. Put your hands up in the air." Did you read this? Is that in your Bible? "Lift up your hands. Put them up. Everybody now, put them up. Let's see them up. Let's see them up. Oh, all the way up. There you go. Put your hands in the air." I won't say wave them around like you just don't care. Get them down. You were made by a God who didn't just give you a mind, he gave you a body. And when you express your love to God and your blessing to God, it was not just meant to be expressed through your mind. You know what happens to people who only express their love to God through their minds? They fall asleep on the couch. That's what happens. Sometimes you got to get up. Sometimes when you hear about your sin, you need to hit your knees. Sometimes when you hear about his grace, you got to stand on your feet. You got to lift up your hands. Now, someone will say to me, "Ryan, that's just not what we do in my culture." There isn't anything in the Bible that you do in your culture. Since when? What? Your culture? Hello, Lord of the universe has showed up. His name's Jesus. He's reforming all human cultures. And you might not be the kind of person who naturally puts their hands up, but if Jesus saved you, it's time to put your hands up. You say, "Well, that's in the Old Testament." Oh, really? 1 Timothy chapter 2. "I desire that men everywhere should lift holy hands and not be angry." Lift up your hands. Now, I'm not, there's no legalism here. I'm not saying every song, "Oh, they better stay up, he's watching." No, they're going to, got to keep him up. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that. But I'll tell you one thing I hate to hear as a preacher. I hate hearing this. "Oh, pastor, I just wanted to yell amen so bad." Well, thank you for guarding us from your outburst. We appreciate that. God wants us to express ourselves bodily in worship. He didn't give you a body so you could go, okay, that's Gnostic worship, people. My mind is set on God. My body's a very bad thing that I need to keep locked down right now. No. Your body is you. Once you lose your body at death, he's going to give it right back to you in the resurrection. You are always going to be an embodied being. And your body in your lifetime ought to feel your knees slam against the floor when you feel your sin. Your hands ought to go, "Oh, I'm in need. I'm in need. You're number one. It's all towards you, Lord God." Like, what would you think of a husband? My friend Ted Christman, 70-year-old Reformed Baptist pastor, he says this. I love this. What would you think of a husband who said, "Listen, I told my wife I loved her, but I'm not really the touchy-feely type. You need to get some touchy-feely going on. That's what you need to do. You need to get over you not being the touchy-feely type and express some love to your wife. Give her a hug. Give her a kiss. You were meant to express yourself with your body. And our God consistently in the scriptures calls for the reaction of our hearts to affect our entire beings. So in the spirit, when you see something glorious about God, you put your hands up. Come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord. That's their identity. Who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place. That's the intensity. And then finally, notice the intentionality. Notice the intentionality called for in worship. There's a continual direction. It doesn't say, come bless. It says, come bless the Lord. It doesn't say, lift up your hands. It says, lift up your hands to the holy place. Because that's where God dwells. All of this blessing, all of this praising has God not in the background, but in the foreground. God is not assumed, but rather he's focused on. There's an intentionality about blessing the Lord. And I'll tell you what, this encouraged me so much this week. Because I'm reading this psalm, and it's one of my convictions that the preacher ought to just burn with the message of the text. And I'm looking at the psalm and going, Lord, my heart's not in a place to just call everybody to bless the Lord. I want Emmanuel to erupt with blessing, but I don't know if I'm the man to call them to do it. And so I just started reading through different passages in the Bible on how God's people bless him. And guess what it did? It got my heart off of this man and onto my God, and the blessings began to flow. I just went to Psalm 103. Why don't you go there for a second? Because, I mean, it's good stuff, right? I mean, Psalm 103 says this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Apparently, David didn't wake up on autopilot ready to bless the Lord. He had to tell himself to do it. Bless the Lord. I don't want to. Get up. Bless the Lord. I can't think of anything to bless him for. Forget not any of his benefits. And this one ought to be enough for eternity. He forgives all your iniquities. Even that one that's stealing your joy this morning. He forgives all your iniquities. He heals all your diseases. I've seen him heal disease. I've seen John Randolph and his wife Christy walk into the elders meeting to be prayed over when Christy's womb was closed. And we prayed for her, and the next month she was pregnant. I have seen him heal. But then I've also seen it where we pray for someone who doesn't heal. But you know what? The healing's just being delayed. Because resurrection day, you're getting 100% healing. Sometimes my neck is so bad, sometimes I just want to like crawl into bed, except that actually makes it worse. But I got a new neck coming. You're going to heal all of my bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. He's not just going to heal my mind. He's going to heal my body. He's going to heal all of me. He's going to redeem all of me. Verse 10, he does not deal with us according to our sins. Man, my sins, it's not going to go well for me. That's not how the dealing is being done. He is dealing with you according to his grace. But I'm such a fool. I'm so weak. Oh, verse 14, he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He knows. Listen, if there's anybody who doesn't need a memo about how weak you are, it's God. And so bless the Lord. Bless him with great intentionality. Bless him with great intensity, and bless him out of your identity, because that is what you were made to do. You were made to bless the Lord. But then the next thing we see in the psalm is here, bless other people. The priests then turned it around to the people, and they said, may the Lord bless you from Zion. He who made heaven, earth. They said, we want you to know God smiles on you too. And the priests reminded the people of God's blessing. And they reminded them of two very powerful things. Both of them have to do with who God is. The first thing they reminded them of is where God rules from. Where God rules from. The Lord bless you from Zion. Zion was the capital of Israel. It was the place where God's king sat on the throne. If you got in trouble in northern Israel or you got in trouble in southern Israel, the help was coming from Zion. It was coming from the center of God's country. That's where help came from. And beloved, the New Testament tells us that every Christian has come to the true Mount Zion. Every Christian, says the book of Hebrews, has come to Zion, and they have found there a better mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the king who's better than David, better than Saul, better than Solomon, better than Zechariah, better than Josiah, better than all kings. He's the king who blesses from Zion. That's what you're supposed to tell people about. And then he says, the Lord bless you, he who made heaven and earth. Now you might think, well, God's blessing is not going to be enough to deal with my issue. Well, let me ask you this. Is your issue on heaven or earth? Is it in one of those two places? He's got those covered. He made them. He made heaven and earth. The Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth. Now, let me just cut to the application. Beloved, we're called to bless one another. That's why God saved you, so you could bless the people in this room, so you could bless the people of this church, so you could bless the world. He called you to be a blessing. Now, that's an amazing thing, because remember, the world's full of people cursing at each other, cutting each other down. I mean, you watch the debates, the political debate. What is the job of these politicians? The job of these politicians is to destroy the reputations of everyone else on that stage to the point where they're left standing. Yikes. And in the midst of that world, we're supposed to bring a blessing. Many of you work in work environments where people are not out to help you succeed. I know that's what they show you in the introductory video when you get hired. But then the real world takes over. Someone else wants your job, your promotion. They want to take you down. And in that world, you're called to be a blessing. And when people come here on Sunday, they're coming out of that world and they desperately need to gather with the people who are going to bless them. We're going to speak a blessing into their lives. Let me even get a little more practical. Let me tell you something you already know about God's blessings. The best ones don't look good. Right? God's best blessings don't look like blessings. I mean, think about the Sermon on the Mount. Go there, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. I think people misread the first 9 verses of Sermon on the Mount so bad. Take away all the blessing. Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. This is verse 3. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Now we read those, and here's how we read them. We go, you should hunger and thirst. You should be merciful. You should be humble. Well, amen, you should be. You should be, I agree. The thing is, though, the Christian already is. Not perfectly, but the Christian is. Christians are humble. They think they needed God to die for them. They've been humbled. They're trying to be meek. If everyone's crowding for the number one position, they're trying to pull back and just serve. Christians hunger and thirst for righteousness. The problem is, while we're hungering and thirsting, and while we're meek and while we're humble, we start to forget that this is a blessing. Let's go, this is not good. This is not good. I mean, why does Jesus have to say to them, blessed are you when people persecute you? Because when people are persecuting you, you're like, whoa, I got off on the wrong exit. Like, something bad is happening here. And Jesus has to step into that and go, no, no, that's blessing. Beloved, that's why you need to speak a blessing into each other's lives. Because every Sunday morning and every gospel community group and every prayer time, people go into those rooms and you know what those people are doing? They're looking at their own lives and they're going, this is not good. This is not a blessing. This does not look like God's smile. I mean, there are some of God's blessings that you immediately recognize. We got a check in the mail. Amen. And that really is from God. That is biblically called a blessing. There's nothing unblessed about getting money from God. But his best blessings are hidden. They don't look like blessings. They look like misery. And so there has to be a community that walks into each other's lives and says, well, that's actually coming straight out of Zion. That one is from the maker of heaven and earth. That's what's happening right there. So I want to leave you with an assignment. And my assignment flows out of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Last verse I'll take you to. I'll spell out my assignment. And then we'll close. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Let us consider, how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. If we could put that in the language of Psalm 134, let's think about blessing each other. Let's consider it. It's great when it just happens by accident, but let's not let it just happen by accident. Let's consider, plan, execute, and intend to bless other people. I'm going to give you this assignment. You got three. In my kids, they get assignments. There's question one, A, B, C. So here's assignment one. Let's think about how to bless each other. Here's A, B, C. Emmanuel gathers in three gatherings. Worship gatherings on Sunday morning. And then on top of worship gatherings on Sunday morning, prayer gatherings on Sunday morning. And then gospel community groups that meet throughout the week. What were to happen if every single member of Emmanuel was praying throughout the week, Lord, every time I meet with God's people, would you just give me a blessing? Would you give me an encouragement for them? Praying specifically, Lord, I'm going to be at church on Sunday morning, and so for that worship blessing, I need some quick ones, Lord. I need ones that like work in the hallway. Boom, right? God can do that. I've seen him do that a million times. He doesn't need 4 hours to bless someone. You pray about it. I tell you what, he will give so many people just the right thing to say at the right time. We'll all be sitting here talking about it. You wouldn't believe what he gave me to say to that person. It turned out to be just the right thing. Consider how to encourage when you gather for worship. Consider how to worship to encourage when you gather for prayer. Those prayer times, and we're praying for missionaries overseas, we're praying for people all over the world, and then, at least in the prayer group I go to, the last half often is just what individual people are concerned about. I mean, that's just a gold mine. I'm just like, the rest of the week, Lord, is there something I can speak into that? Is there something I can say? Is there something that would be an encouragement? They're really discouraged. How could I help them see that God's at work, that he's really working their grace? Would you pray like that to be a blessing? Listen, we are going to offend each other at Emmanuel Baptist Church. Amen? You are going to hurt people. I hate hurting people. But it's going to happen. None of us have the holiness, the wisdom, the insight, the love, the sensitivity to perfectly avoid hurting people. We don't have it. But you just fill the whole culture with blessing, and those become like shock absorbers that can handle the difficult times. And when you gather with your gospel community group, think about how to bless them. I was pointed to some posts on Facebook. Sorry, I'm going to read you your Facebook posts. Cassandra Bastidas. I am so thankful for the women in the community group that I am a part of. The more I observe them, the more I'm amazed by them. They show me how redeemed women in Christ carry themselves and how I tell love greatly. They are intelligent, fun, sweet, gentle, honest, pure, merciful, generous, and beautiful. The Lord has lavished me with good gifts. That person's been blessed. They've been blessed. Amanda Brainerd. Praising the Lord for a much-needed refreshment and spiritual encouragement tonight with ladies from our GCG. Thankful this group is growing people who barely knew each other into sweet friends. That's a blessing. She got blessed. Middle of a week full of cursing, middle of a week full of difficulties, blessing. Angela Stevens. I'm encouraged by what God is doing in my GCG. He is bringing together people from many different cultures, backgrounds, and stages of life and growing us together in the gospel. Each week I show up exhausted from the week's events and weary from life's trials and leave feeling refreshed, cared for, and spurred on to love God more and serve Him with a joyful heart. As someone who's extremely resistant to change, having a care group that is suddenly losing several dear families who were a big part of my life seemed too much for my soul to bear. Although at IBC, you'd think I'd be used to it by now. Now I can testify to this, His goodness, and that even in this, He has been faithful to love and care for His people. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. And so God has made you and I a kingdom of priests. And our main role in this life is to bless the Lord. It's the number one thing, to bless the Lord. And then our calling after that is to bless each other. In this weary, sin-sick world, just to be a people full of blessing. And what help is given from the Holy Spirit? When we just begin to pray, Lord, would you just meet me Sunday morning? Would you meet me at prayer time? Would you meet me when I gather with GCG? Then you could throw in, and then anytime I see a Christian, or anytime I see anyone, make me a blessing, Lord. A blessing that flows straight out of Zion. A blessing from the Maker of heaven and earth. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We praise you for blessing us in Jesus. And we pray, Lord God, that you would make us a blessing because of Jesus. We pray this in His name. Amen.